Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday morning chapel. Just a quick note on the change of venue. The announcement at the bottom, again, addresses this. Dr. Benjamin Quashie, who's going to be speaking tonight, we've decided to move it here into the chapel to make sure we have enough room. I think Meyer Hall 101 would be too tight. So please note that change of venue for tonight. It's still at 7 o'clock. God's richest blessings on our worship.
Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is from Romans chapter 5. We read verses 18 through 20. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. I'm blessed to be the dad of four great kids. They're all pretty young still. Grade school and then one in preschool. But if you ask them right out of the blue, hey, who was the fastest kid in your class? They will immediately tell you. They don't have to think about it. It's been measured. It is known exactly who the fastest kid is in their class. They know who has the longest hair. They know who the tallest is. They know who is the best artist, who has the best jump shot. They have measured their classmates in every conceivable way, and they know where they stand in comparison. And as a dad, it makes me laugh. Why do you care who has the longest hair? Why do you care who the fastest kid is? But then I realize and understand that your experience here in college is not very different from that, right? A huge part of being in college is being measured and assessed from every possible angle to see where you stack up and whether or not you are enough. And that's what grades are, right? Every assignment you turn in, your work, your effort, your aptitude is being measured. Are you smart enough? Did you work hard enough? Did you study in the right way? Do you know this material well enough? And unlike in grade school, who has the longest hair, this measuring has a big impact on your life. So that's why bad grades are offensive, because they show us that our work was not good enough. Whether it's how smart we are, how we're studying, how we're working, other distractions there might be in our life, no matter what the reason, it's right there in black and white. What we did was not good enough. And it's even more striking to me that this measuring doesn't end at college either. It's your entire life. Because after this, there's performance reviews, there's applying for jobs, there's measuring yourself against other parents, their kids against your kids. It just goes on and on. And when we look at our text today, we understand the foundation of this tendency that we have to measure and compare. It's the law. It's the law of God. God's law is his ultimate report card telling us how we measure up and giving us the straight and honest truth about whether or not we're enough. And it's offensive, too, because it doesn't pull punches. It's looks us straight in the eye and it says, no, absolutely not. You are not even kind of enough. You lack what God demands. You do not deserve any blessing. You do not deserve any reward. What you deserve is death. And sometimes, just like if we get a bad grade, we get defensive when we hear God's law. It's not my fault, Lord. Look at the text we just read. You said in your word that part of what my problem is outside of me. It's Adam's fault. I'm going to shift the blame. I'm going to shift it to him. The offense, it's his fault. It's his sin that means that judgment has come to all of us. It's his sin that means condemnation. It's his disobedience that made me a sinner. It's not just me. That excuse holds zero weight with God. Adam himself tried it, right? He said, Lord, it's this woman. She tempted me. The woman that you yourself gave to me, I might add. And even though it doesn't work for Adam, we still try to use it. Lord, look at the tools that are available to me. You understand the requirements that I have to live up to. You see all the work in front of me. If I have to use technology to cheat a little bit, I'm going to do it because of all the requirements, all the pressure that I'm under. Lord, you see how easily accessible pornography is. It is at my fingertips 24/7. How could I completely avoid it? Lord, you understand how much stress I'm under. You understand the weight that's on my shoulders, how much I have to carry around, the anxiety that I have. And so if I overuse alcohol or drugs sometimes to cope with all of that, I'm sure you get it, right? It's not really all my fault. I was born cursed by the law. I was born in sin. And this life, this unique time and circumstance that you put me in, I might add, Lord, it makes it so hard. It makes it impossible to not give in. And the law is offensive because it strips all of these excuses. It takes away any opportunity that we have to shift the blame or the responsibility to others. This is the reality in the Word of God, from the Word of God himself. Because of how you have offended God, judgment has come to you. Condemnation is what you deserve. You sin because you are a sinner. It's in your nature and it's what you do. When it comes to God's demands, you are not enough. And thanks be to God for this word of his law. Thanks be to God for the offense that it causes in our hearts and in our lives, because that's exactly why he gives it to us. The law entered so that offense might abound. The law of God is what we're required to compare ourselves to, what we have to measure ourselves against. And it doesn't create sin. It exposes it. You walk into a pitch black room and you turn on a bright flashlight and it shows you the mess, the disaster that was there already. That's what the law of God does to our hearts. And the more we try to compare, the more we try to measure up to it, the more we realize the distance between God's perfection and our best efforts. It says, you are simply not enough. But again, thanks be to God, because that verse doesn't end there. The law entered that the offense might abound. And then there's a but. And it's a big one. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The law is good because it forces us to abandon our efforts, our plans to try and be enough. It forces us to understand that the way to get to God is not through our best efforts. It's not through our goodness. And the gospel comes and says, it's through Jesus. Yes, through Adam, judgment comes and condemnation with it. But look at Jesus, the second Adam, the perfect one, the Savior. Through his righteous act, a free gift comes for all of us. And justification with it. Through his obedience, we are made, we are declared to be righteous. So yes, through Adam comes death, but through Jesus comes forgiveness and eternal life. We are members of Christ through faith in that gospel. We know who we are. We know what he's done for us. And that doesn't mean that now through faith in the Son that we don't sin, that we don't fall short, that we don't make mistakes. It means that the guilt and the shame, the consequences for those mistakes, the sin itself is removed from us forever. It means that through faith in Jesus, you are free from the curse of the law. He broke that curse when he lived for you and died for you and rose for you and when he united himself to you through that free gift of faith. He has declared you to be righteous. He hasn't come to grade you based on how good you've been, based on how hard you're working. He comes to you in your unworthiness, in your mistakes, and in the complete disaster that is your life, and he wraps you in his perfect righteousness. When he looks at you now, he sees holiness. He doesn't see mistakes. He doesn't see sin. He sees his own dear child. Because of Jesus, you are forgiven. And that forgiveness changes everything in our life. It is completely transformative. Because now as you measure yourself, as you categorize yourself in the most meaningful ways, there's not worry there. There's not doubt. There's no questions. There's confidence about who you are and what you are. Yes, you are not enough, but Jesus is. And secure in that forgiveness, living as his own dear child, you do not have to prove yourself. You do not need to be anything other than what you are through faith. What you are is a dearly loved, blood-bought child of God. That's your identity. There is no bad grade. There is no failed test. There is no breakup. There is no denied application. There is nothing that can change that. Nothing can take your identity from you. This is the reality of what God has declared it to be. So this is the reality that we live. You have received the free gift of grace. You are justified. God has declared you to be righteous. You are forgiven. It flips everything upside down. My kids compare themselves to their classmates because they want to be the fastest and the smartest and the best. And that envy lives in our hearts too. When others get what we want, when they have what we don't, when they succeed where we fail. But looking at this through the perspective of what Jesus has done, that changes. I'm not in competition with you. You're not competing with your classmates or with anyone else to be the most valuable, to make the most money, to get the most notoriety, because as God's children, our focus is no longer on this life alone. We're not looking at those things to define us, to prove to ourselves or the world how valuable we are. When we look at each other, we see fellow recipients of the grace of God. I see you as somebody who was born in sin, who has failed God, but who is covered in his grace, his righteousness, and his love, just like me. Your identity is secure. You know that your value and your worth is not tied to anything outward, anything that man can see. Your value is found in the fact that the Son of God himself, the creator of the world, gave himself up for you personally. That he died in your place that he took your place before the wrath of God and wore your sin so that you can be with him forever. That's how much he loves you. That's how valuable you are to him. And so now the script is flipped. Yeah, we're still working hard. We're studying and learning and cultivating our talents and abilities, but it's not to show God how good we are. It's not to prove to the world our worth. It's because we know that by doing this, we are more able to thank God with our whole life, to glorify him, to serve our neighbor. We're more fully equipped to better fill the role that God has planned for us to fill in this world. We know that instead of living for ourselves, that we are free from the curse of the law. We are free from living selfishly. We are free to live selflessly. And that as we live here, we live to reflect the grace and the mercy, the love that God has poured on us. And we live knowing that we're going to try our best. We're going to put all of our effort into all of that. We're going to live in thankfulness for everything that God has done. And we're still not going to measure up. We're still going to fall short. We're still going to stumble. We're still going to hurt the people that we love. And we're still going to offend our God. But where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. There is no end to the forgiveness that Jesus won for you. And repentance and faith cling to the salvation that comes through him alone. Jesus and his righteousness, those are enough. He accomplished it all, and through faith in him, this is your identity. You are God's own child forever. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that where our sin abounds, your grace overflows even more. When your law exposes our failure, remind us that Christ has fulfilled it perfectly for us. When our hearts condemn us, teach us to rest in Jesus' righteousness alone. Free us from the need to prove our worth, our value, and fill us with joy in serving you and our neighbor in love. Keep us steadfast in faith until that day when our wrestling against our sinful nature and temptation are over and we see our Redeemer face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.